Well, when I left on vacation, we had just finished Romans 8. Hopefully, you're not here this morning expectantly waiting to learn about Romans 9. Because we're not going to start that yet. Maybe in September. Although it looks like most people are back from vacation already. But we're still going to wait till September. I had a few other things on my heart as I was meditating over vacation time. And today we would like to talk about prayer. I don't know that we talk about prayer all that much. And we probably pray even less, unfortunately. Prayer, I've never heard anyone say, I pray too much. I don't think we can, since we're supposed to pray without ceasing. How is your prayer life? This can be a time of evaluation. At first, we maybe will ask the question, what is prayer? Well, that's too easy to answer, isn't it? Somebody might just say, well, it's talking with God. Well, that would certainly be prayer. How about communing with God? Fellowshipping with God? One thing it is not is thinking God is an ATM machine that you just go and get things out of. Or as one writer put it, prayer is not simply an added task once one becomes a Christian. It's not just an opportunity to bring our laundry list of requests to God for health and travel mercies. Or something to feel guilty about for not doing. Prayer is God the Holy Spirit bringing us to commune with God the Father through God the Son. It's a delighting in the Trinity. Or as Jonathan Edwards put it, prayer is opening the door to an infinite fountain of divine glory and sweetness. Did you ever think about prayer that way? Fellowshipping with God. He's given you an open invitation to come and seek Him. And do you use it? Someone said that we shouldn't focus so much on praying as just focus on God. God is so delightful, so lovely, so eager to commune with us and beautify us with the Holy Spirit. Amazing thoughts. As a result of this sermon, I do not want you to feel coerced into praying more. I want you to feel drawn to commune more with God. I think I'd like to read from Luke chapter 11. Starting in verse 1 of Luke 11, it says, Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Evidently, John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus' disciples saw him praying, and so they said the same thing. Well, teach us to pray. In a sense, do you really think we need to be taught to pray? I guess so. I guess we do. It says, and Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Or as it is in Matthew's Gospel, our Father. Because sometimes it's corporate prayer as well as individual prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And all God's people said, whoops. I hope you have. And lead us not into temptation. And then Jesus told them a story, because Jesus was the great storyteller. And Jesus said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he'll answer from within, don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Interesting translation. Jesus adds, and I tell you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it'll be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Do we have any fathers like that? Or if his son asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Well, obviously not, right? Now notice how Jesus closes out this section. He says, if you then who are evil, ouch. Wow. Jesus actually said that to his disciples? If you then who are evil, and they were, and we are, our hearts are evil, above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? Apart from Christ, we're nothing. In Christ, we have everything, praise God. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, how much more will the Holy Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Except here Jesus says what the good thing is, and that is the Holy Spirit. God says, I'm a better father than you guys are, and I'm willing to give you my Holy Spirit. That's what prayer is all about. So why don't we get excited about praying? It ought to just be our constant thing every day. I just want to talk to the Lord. He gives me of His Holy Spirit. He blesses me with His fellowship. Oh, how sweet it is. What joy in His presence. Well, if you're not experiencing joy, run to Jesus. If you don't have any joy in your life, go where it is found. In His presence there is a teeny bit of joy reserved for you. Or an overflowing abundance of joy that you can't help get if you go there. Four things I'd like to tell you about prayer. I stole this from Jonathan Edwards, who preached this on the Holy Spirit being given in prayer. The first point is this. God is sovereign over all things, including prayer. And that's why you should pray. See, if a God is sovereign over all things, why should I pray? You know, that's the reason that you should pray. Because He can do something. God is in control. He controls the weather. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He brings out the lightning out of His storehouses. He controls the government. He puts down one and lifts up another. They're all ordained of God. He allows trials and suffering. And Jesus taught us to pray, Father! But there's too many Christians that don't want a father in heaven. They want a grandfather. Did you ever think about that? What's a grandfather? A benevolent grandfather, someone who likes to see us enjoying ourselves. Well, it's true. And too many people are like that. That's what they want out of their God. Instead of God to be a loving father to them. But we have a heavenly Father and He demands our total obedience. We are to obey Him in all things. He's in control. We could say in one sense that God does everything in prayer. He makes promises to those who will pray. He promises to pray. He hears the prayers of believers. He answers in His own good way. God does it all, and yet we have to do it all too. I say, how does that work? Well, God is sovereign, but we have responsibility. I found it kind of interesting. This is the way Jonathan Edwards put it. He said, what God does and what we do are not two portions of one pie, where one decreases as the other increases. Rather, what God does is a circle on which what we do is overlaid. The two do not squeeze one another out. They overlap. Our prayers are not outside the bubble of God's sovereignty, feebly but impossibly trying to dent it. Our prayers are inside the bubble. From the perspective of divine sovereignty, our prayers do not change sovereignly governed reality so much as they are themselves built into sovereignly governed reality. And after all, if God is not sovereign, why pray for the salvation of that loved one? If God can't work in their heart, you certainly can't. And yet you would try all your hardest to do so if you thought it all depended upon you. If God wasn't sovereign and couldn't work, but because God is sovereign and can work, you do pray for Him and to Him, and you pray for the salvation of your loved ones. And God works and changes hearts and regenerates people, and we praise God for that. So God is sovereign, and prayer is crucial within His sovereignty. He tells us to pray. But not only is God sovereign, He invites us to pray. We have an open invitation to pray. For those of you that were in the Hebrews Sunday school class this morning, what did it say? Therefore, come with confidence before the throne of grace. Okay? This is God bidding you come, come. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There's just open invitations. As we read here in Luke 11, it's also in Matthew 7, you know, Jesus says, ask, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find, knock, it'll be opened. That's praying. It will happen. What did James say? James said, you don't have because you didn't ask. You say, yeah, but I asked and I didn't get. Well, that's because you asked foolishly. You ought to know the difference. You asked selfishly. You just wanted to spend things on your own pleasure, your own desires, instead of wanting God's desires. But when you ask according to His will, He hears you and He blesses. John 16:24, Jesus told His disciples in the upper room, until now you've asked for nothing in My name, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now that sounds like an invitation to me to ask, right? John 14:13-14, Jesus said, whatever you ask in My name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. But this is to come out of a life of obedience, walking with the Lord, doing what He wants us to do. When you delight yourself in the Lord is when He gives you the desires of your heart. When you're delighting in your own ways, that's something totally different. In Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15, it says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You see, the obedience came first, then you cry out when there's difficulty and God sets you free from it. And what does he say as the result? You will glorify God. That's the whole idea of it all. Not to glorify yourself. If you want to glorify yourself, you're in trouble. You're not a Christian. That's not what Christian life is all about. And so God invites us to pray. Another one is in the Psalms that says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. George Mueller says, I'm going to do that. And he did. We'll come back to that in a moment. But now this is for believers. This is for people who are trusting in Christ to save them from their sins. This is not for people who are unbelievers. This is not whom God calls the wicked. In Psalm 50, verses 16 and 7, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He hears the cry of his children, but not the cry of the wicked, unless they're calling in repentance for salvation. So God is sovereign over all things, therefore we ought to pray, because he can do something. And he gives us an open invitation. But thirdly, along with the open invitation, he adds all these promises. Okay? All these promises. He says, if you just come and you just ask, look what I'm going to give you. Someone said, we live in a world of forked roads. Kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? We live in a world of forked roads. You're always coming to a point of decision. You've got to go this way or that way. How many times during the day you need to make a decision? You're either going to do this or you're going to do that. You're going to do this or you're going to do that. Well, how do you know what's the right way? God says, if you ask me, I'll tell you. He says in Psalm 23, David said, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He does all these things for me daily. In Psalm 32:8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Yes, God wants to direct our paths for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? He'll direct your paths. He'll show you which way to go. Isaiah 40:11, I love this verse. It says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Gently lead. Time to bring out your hymnal when you get home and just start singing, he leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. That's what God does for us. If we're trusting in him, if we're seeking him, if we're bringing our requests before him. But he has all these promises. And the promise here in Luke 11:13 is the promise of the Holy Spirit. What greater gift could there be? What is our greatest need? Well, the greatest need of a human being is salvation. Be saved from your sins. You don't even realize it while you're living here on earth and you're going through your daily lives that this is such a great need, but it is, because someday you're going to die and face your Maker. And then you have to give an account. And only if you trust in Christ will there be any salvation. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Contemplate that. What did God do for our salvation? In Isaiah 53, it says, it pleased the Lord to crush Jesus. Why? So that we could be saved. Wow. God the Father did that to God the Son just so we could be saved? Yes. And God desires to bless us with things we need. As we read in Matthew 6, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll give you whatever you need. Or as Paul put it, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But that's only if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You see, God delights to hear our prayers. And the more valuable the blessing, the more eager God is to give it. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, God is giving of Himself. That's what He did when He gave Jesus. He gave Himself. That's what He gives when He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives Himself. And this is the blessing. He says elsewhere, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, George Mueller was a great man of faith. How did he do it? He prayed the promises. He felt the promises of God's Word that He would provide, that He would care for the needy, for the widows and the orphans. And so he took God at His word. Well, so let's help the orphans. Now, again, I want to share this thought, and it's related to this. Don't ever despise the day of small things. Okay? Don't despise the day of small things. Jesus said, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. The point I'm going to make here is, be faithful in little things. Now, I know John Newton said, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. Okay? But that's a matter of trusting before God, and sometimes we have to grow in that. Okay? But learn to trust Him with the little things every day, and you can trust Him for bigger and bigger things. We look at the life of George Mueller and we read how he took care of 4,000 orphans by praying, and God provided food and clothing and the furnace getting fixed and all kinds and buildings. And all he did was just pray to God and ask. But he didn't start with 4,000. You get the picture. And you're not going to start with 4,000 of anything. Okay? You start small. You start trusting God with the little things. Children, do this. Start trusting God for the little things. Every day, whatever it is, trust God. You say, but how many of you have the word but in your vocabulary too often? Especially when you're thinking about what God can do. Remember the song, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. You say, well, I know that God can do this, but look at my situation. It's more unusual, it's more difficult. One time I was contemplating God and I thought, does God really understand atomic theory? I mean, it's really complicated, you know? It's really difficult for me. Can God really understand that? I mean, it took Newton and Einstein and some of these other people so long to figure a lot of these things out. Can God figure this out? Can God figure it out? He's the one that put it all together. Wait till he explains it all to us and it finally makes sense. God knows about everything. God not only knows what is going to happen, he knows what could possibly happen. Remember David? David said, should I go rescue the people in the city? God says, go rescue the people in the city. Will I be victorious? Yes, you'll be victorious. Will they deliver me over to Saul? Yes, they will. Well, let's have the victory and get out of there quick. Okay. But God knew what was possible. But he also knew what was going to happen. And God can take care of you. Be not dismayed whate'er befall you. God will take care of you. Are you his child? Think about this for a moment. If you're a child and your father's not there, do you start to worry a little that something might happen, something might go wrong, and that you might have a difficult time with something or other? Well, yeah. When daddy's not home, it can be difficult. You know, I don't know what's going to happen if he's not here. Well, think about this. God's always there. God's always there. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never! Ever! Ever! He's always with us. He's always by our side. He's always watching over us. Do you think that your daddy would let something bad happen if he was there? No, absolutely not. What did we say a few weeks ago? If God is for us, what does it matter who's against us? If God is for us, if God is working all things together for good to those who love God, can't I trust him? Absolutely I can. In fact, I must, or I'm being disobedient. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So God has given us all these wonderful, powerful, tremendous promises in his word. In fact, if you want to try something, this is what, I think it was John Piper that was one of the people who did this. His Bible was filled with the letter T and the letter P. Anybody try that? You say, what's that, T and P? Well, that's when you come to a promise of God. If you try it, that's T. When you prove it's true, that's P. For every T, there ought to be a P. Tried and proved. Okay. Why? Because God's faithful. God is faithful in little things, and God is faithful in big things. Is there something too hard for God? Oh, but my situation's different. It's too hard for God. Really? Well, then who is your God? You don't know the God of Scripture. Because he's bigger than anything. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. This is the one that you are to trust in. So God is sovereign. We ought to pray. God invites us to pray. God adds promises to encourage us to pray. So our fourth thing is, well, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's get excited about praying. Now, what do you pray for? Well, do you pray for externals or internals? Do you pray for temporals or do you pray for spirituals? Well, the answer is both. Both. But our problem is that too often it's more about the external temporal things and we forget about enjoying his presence and seeking him and desiring that our spirit just be at one with him. And so we do try to sometimes make God into a ATM machine that we can go get whatever we want. when we want it, our time, our amount, etc. And God says, that's not who I am. Come and fellowship with me. Come and seek me, and I'll take care of everything you need. But you know what you're going to find out? You don't need a lot of things that you thought you did. It's like having a good Amish neighbor move in next door. They come over and teach you how to, if you don't have something, how to get along without it. Right? Sometimes God doesn't want us to have everything. Sometimes the things that we have will be our problem, our difficulty. The things that we supposedly possess, possess us. And we have too many things. Besides, the more things you have, the more things you have to be responsible for. More things you have to give account for. More things you have to take care of. Beware of what you desire. So be concerned about the spiritual things of life more than the other things of life. Not that you can't pray for them. It's fine. Someone's sick? Yeah, let's pray for them. Someone needs a job? Yeah, let's pray for them. Do we need rain? Yes, let's pray for rain. But are you more concerned about a physical drought or about a spiritual drought? And what are you experiencing in your life right now? Do you have spiritual rain just pouring down in your life and filling you to overflowing because it's a picture of the Holy Spirit? Or are you kind of spiritually dry? Because you're just not walking in the right way right now, and you're just going sort of your own way and meandering around and wandering. Again, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Worship at His footstool. Rejoice in Him. Do it daily. Do it personally. But then come together and do it corporately. As He said, our Father. Well, that's a corporate prayer. We pray that together. Come and join with one another. Pray as a family. Pray as couples. Pray personally, yes. Pray constantly, yes. But pray corporately as God allows the opportunity and the time. Are you missing out on special fellowship with God? Are you missing out on communion and delighting in God that you could have had if you just came and spent time in His presence? God invites us as believers to pray. He promises to answer and to bless us. He promises to give us of Himself in the Holy Spirit. And so we're to enjoy daily fellowship with God every day. It's my prayer that each one of us might be a man of prayer, or a woman of prayer, or a child of prayer. That we would all live in a prayerful atmosphere throughout every day. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this should be our greatest delight of all, just to enjoy Your presence at all times. How is it that this gets away from us? How is this that we neglect this? Satan wants us just to go get entangled in the things of the world. In fact, even right now, he's probably putting in some of our minds, well, church is almost over. Now I need to go do this or that or the other thing instead of, oh, Lord, I want fellowship with You. Father, help us to learn to love You more, to spend time in Your presence daily. And may Jesus Christ be praised. It's His wonderful name we pray. Amen.